Click kaya959.co.za to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959. And tonight, as you can tell, we're getting inside your business. And with any organization, you need to make sure that you comply with the necessary regulations, that you have all your formalities in place, from your tax, your business registration, and of course, keeping your finances up to speed. But let's get to the sweet spot, the registration of the business and making sure that it stays afloat. Now, the CIPC, the Companies and Intellectual Property Commission, has raised a number of red flags regarding that typically a number of accountants only typically consider the solvency of a business when they are in trouble. Why does solvency matter? It essentially is a measure to make sure that you have more assets than liabilities, so that when your creditors come knocking at your door, you can actually pay off your debts without having to dissolve your business. Someone who knows more about this than I do and is going to guide us on what we should be aware of is Joey Matega, Senior Manager for Corporate Compliance and Disclosure Regulation Unit at the Companies and Intellectual Property Commission, CIPC or CIPC. Joey, welcome to the show, sir. Oh, Joey, your mic is still on mute.
Thank
welcome
you
to Kaya Biz.
Thank you, Gugu, and good evening to yourself and the Kaya listeners.
Thank you so much for joining us, Joey. This is a very technical subject, but a very important one for anyone who's an accountant or runs their own operation. And maybe take us back to the fundamentals. Solvency matters because it helps us ensure that a company can be a going concern. But outside of that, should they consider liquidation or even business rescue, they will be able to pay off their creditors. But help us understand not only how these are intertwined, but why this raises such a level of concern for you as the CIPC.
Thanks very much. It is indeed a governance discipline that we believe that all boards should embrace and all entities should embrace, because ultimately it will mitigate the risk of entities going into business rescue, as you mentioned, liquidation, amongst others. So we are advocating for this test to be conducted by all entities to ensure that there's investor confidence that gets built, but that there's also confidence that other stakeholders who relate to the entity are able to have. Some of us will remember that at some point one of the entities gave a loan to a director without having sought board approval and or even conducted a solvency liquidity test. So this really does go to the heart of financial stewardship that we expect entities to conduct themselves within.
And I think this is important, right? Because for many of us, we might think, oh, well, this shouldn't be too much of a concern. And as entrepreneurs and directors, we think, well, I'll take it as a dividend, or we've got enough cash flow to manage the business. But this is also where accountants come in to help keep us in check. So where are we falling short here in terms of making sure that governance, compliance, and transparency and disclosure is upheld?
Really, the huge responsibility lies with the board of directors. But as you rightfully mentioned, that we do have assistance that we get from our professional experts in terms of auditors and accountants. And even as regulators, we do also receive a number of red flags that come through in the form of reportable irregularities from both auditors as well as accountants for the various levels of entities. So this role is not only applicable to large corporates, it really also applies to small and medium corporates. And this is to ensure that we protect the investment as well as ensure that we give confidence to the market.
Yeah. Let's talk about that further, because it does also speak to a level of compliance under CIPC. And I do see that you sit in a very important space there, corporate compliance and disclosure regulation. So you typically get to see a lot of the mess before or once people have failed to actually comply with governance, which is actually what we're trying to avoid. I know that there's a number of technical sections that directors need to be aware of. And of course, terms that we also need to be mindful of. But help us, you know, contextualize and simplify the solvency and liquidity test in practice.
In practice, Gugu, the I think you described it well in your intro to say entities must really ensure that their asset exceed liabilities in a particular reporting period, and that they are able to meet their debts as they become due and payable. And really, this should be seen from a perspective of it's a preventative and a strategic governance role that boards are expected to play. And if this can be viewed in that light, we will be able to also play in a, in international space, because we'll be demonstrating, as I mentioned, prudent financial stewardship. We'll be seeing this governance mechanism as a risk control mechanism as well, because if entities are able to see the importance of verifying the status of their financial affairs before they make declaration of dividends and or some other decisions like amalgamations or mergers or you know, making distributions or capitalization of shares, amongst other things, it really ensures that they are able to take accountability for the decisions that they make as directors, because business judgment must also be informed by data that is available. And if the FD cannot demonstrate that there is credible financial data, one as a director cannot exercise professional judgment, you know, in that regard.
100%. I'm keen to also understand, you know, is this typically where, as SIPC, you notice that there's concerns regarding solvency and liquidity tests? And then from there, this is where we also see the heightened number of business rescue offerings or even liquidations that typically occur?
You could say, but I will not immediately want to link the two, business rescue and failure to conduct solvency and liquidity, because what we have noticed in terms of, for example, the statistics, there's about 11,000 companies in the previous financial year which were found to have not complied with this requirement. And that immediately triggers an enforcement role from our side. And when we engage many of these entities, they do come and provide relevant evidence to say, look, there was a resolution that was taken. They may not have declared that in their set of financials to say that there was such a decision taken formally. So I think the issue here was about being transparent about the fact that such a test will have been conducted. But in our records, it reflects as if that was not complied with. So our engagements with the entities are saying that there is awareness around this, except that to the regulator, there is not enough and consistent disclosure. And therefore, we are just trying to inculcate this culture of being transparent, because those financials, they get reviewed and they get seen by prospective investors and or other stakeholders who are close to the company. So such disclosures must be made as part of the full set of financials.
100%. So key lessons that we need to be mindful of as directors of companies and in relation to our accountants, I guess, what are the top two things that we should keep in mind?
I think directors should really note that this is important in terms of their role as financial stewards. They should view this requirement as part of mitigating, as part of risk prevention, mainly. To mitigate the risk of potential insolvency, they should view this from an ethical oversight point of view, because failure by them to make decisions based on credible financial data can expose them to personal liability in terms of Section 77 of the Companies Act. So from an ethical point of view and accountability, we expect directors to take this seriously. And going to the future, there's an expectation that as part of integrated financial reporting, that such practices will be helpful, because when it comes to principles of integrated thinking, we expect that issues around ESG, amongst others, will require of companies to look at their sustainability going forward. And I think it's always helpful, even as a medium-sized entity, to start adopting and inculcating the culture of integrated thinking as part of developing one's financial report.
100%.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for your time, sir. We'll leave it there for today, but can't wait to touch base with you again to see the kind of progress that we would witness in this regard. Joining me tonight is Joey Mateka. He is a senior manager for compliance, corporate compliance and disclosure regulation unit at SIPSI. That's the Companies and Intellectual Property Commission. Do stay with us. It's 13 minutes to 7 o'clock. You are listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959. When we come back, we'll give you all the amazing insights regarding Ekasinomics with our guest from Net99. Ever wondered about how best we can bring affordable internet to South African townships? Well, they're doing it. And after 7 o'clock, you can join us for an invigorating conversation, a roundtable, all about kickstarting your investment journey or improving it if you've been in it for some time with ETFSA. We've got a live audience. You can join us for our webinar. Maybe if you're driving around Jan Smuts Avenue right now, pop on by. We might be able to help you build wealth.
Click kaya959.co.za to download the Kaya Biz podcast.